reading is from Acts 4, and it takes place after Peter and John had been arrested for ministering in the name of Jesus. They'd been told to stop it, and they've been released. We pick up the story. After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness.
We have power. Fantastic. Well, this is the last in our series of messages around the season of prayer that we've been working our way through in term one. And in term two, it'll be a season of prophecy, which should be a great and interesting time. Lots for us to think about there. And one of our desires in having these seasons is not just to be theoretical, but to be encouraging people to experience the practicality of God, and particularly encouraging people in their prayer lives at this time. And for that reason, I'm very happy to be speaking with you this morning about warfare prayer. What does it mean to take a stance in prayer that's more than just a passive position, or more than just a requesting kind of interceding position, but it's actually more, it's more like a declaration, a claiming, an advancing of the kingdom of God position. And a good example of a warfare prayer in the scriptures is this one from chapter 4 in the Acts of the Apostles. The background to this story is that Peter and John were going into the temple to pray, and they saw a man who'd been lame, crippled from birth, and he's begging for money. You know, can I have some money? I just saw a man yesterday in Glen Huntly Road sitting there. The sign said, "I'm homeless. Can you spare a gold coin?" He was begging for money. Well, this man, he spent his time there by the temple gates, presumably hoping that as people were going into or coming out of the temple seeking some favor from God, that they'd also be inclined to help someone in need. And Peter and John, they see him, and Peter says, "I don't have any money. I don't have any gold or silver, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And he gets up and he's leaping around, and people are praising God, and creates quite a commotion because thousands of people have seen this man sitting there and have interacted with him in one way or another. And the chief priests, the leaders of the community drag him up and they say, "You know, stop saying that Jesus is the one by whom you've been healed." And he said, "Well, what can I say, you know?" And they drag in Peter and John, and they command them to stop this message. They don't want them to be sharing this message at all. And in their wisdom, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish community, they let Peter and John go, and they go back to the disciples. And that's where we have the situation where the disciples are gathered together in this space, and they tell them all that the chief priests have said. They tell them that we've been warned and threatened, that we have to stop preaching this message of Jesus or else bad things might happen to us. And they share that with the community. And then it's fascinating what happens next. How does the community respond to this challenge, to the message of Jesus that's been going out? I want to just note a few points about this prayer. And my goal in going through this is to equip you with some resources to be engaged in warfare prayer yourselves in your own life on issues that you experience and for us as a community. Firstly, it says they are praying together. There's a unity. They are approaching this issue in unity together. They raise their voices together in prayer to God. There's strength in unity. Secondly, they declare things about God. This is a very common pattern in prayers in the scripture. The first part of the prayer is a declaration of who God is. It's really interesting, in the Anglican prayer book, there's a prayer set for each day of each Sunday throughout the year, actually for 3 years of Sundays. A prayer is written for each of those days. And they're traditionally called collects. But these collects have a particular form. They're usually one complete sentence. And they always begin by declaring an attribute of God. And prayer works best when it arises from reflection on the character of God. The nature of God is the place to start in prayer. The Lord's Prayer is like that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You declare who God is before you bring your requests. And that's what happens here. They declare, first of all, the sovereignty of God, his authority, his position. And have a look at what they say. Sovereign Lord, so you are king over all things. You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Why are they reminding God that he's the creator? He knows that already. Well, they're declaring the authority, the ownership, the rights of God over the circumstances into which they're praying. And they remind God that he spoke in Psalm 2 through David, who's the author of that psalm, and said that the nations will rage and the peoples will plot in vain. The kings of the earth will take their stand and the rulers will gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So they're facing opposition. They're facing criticism and threats and danger. And they understand this by considering that the scriptures have prophesied that this would happen. And they remind God, they say, the Lord, you have spoken about this that's happening to us. That it says there that nations and kings and rulers will plot against your Messiah. And this is exactly our situation that we're in. And it's really important here that there's a promise inherent in this as well. Because it says they will plot in vain. This is vain plotting. And they connect it to their immediate experience, and they name Herod, who is the king of a kingdom in that area under the Romans, a little king, and Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor in Jerusalem, also the Gentiles, these are the Roman soldiers, and the people of Israel, the Jews in the city. These four groups, or four powers, have combined together and conspired to try and destroy Jesus, shut him up, and now to silence his followers from preaching his message. They've been conspiring against your holy servant, Jesus. And then they declare that this is happening according to God's sovereignty and power. Like, this is not a mistake in the sense that this is under the sovereignty of God. This is the God who created all things. Lord, you are sovereign over all these circumstances. So notice that they name the circumstance. They're not pretending it is something else other than what it is. We are facing dire threats from these authorities. They're trying to intimidate us. They even killed your son, your servant Jesus, the Messiah. And we bring this before you. This is actually, this kind of hatred is what your scriptures, your word, has prophesied to us. So they lay all this out before the Lord, and they're declaring all through this in different ways. They're declaring the sovereignty of God over the situation, that he has this situation in his hands. And then they ask in response to this for a request. And this is really interesting what they ask for. They say, consider the threats of these people who are opposed to your Messiah And instead of saying, protect us from the threats, instead of saying also, you know, curse them, destroy your enemies, Lord, they don't do either of those things. They don't say, keep us safe, and they don't say, you know, whack those baddies. They say, give us boldness to declare the gospel, to declare the message about Jesus Christ. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And they are specific. They say, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And that's a really interesting request, because it's because of the miracle that they got into trouble. It's because the man was healed that they were dragged up before the authorities. And that's that very point of danger for them. They created a riot through this miracle, okay? The Lord has created a riot. And instead of saying, Lord, can you please show us a safer method of evangelism? Perhaps we can anticipate the Alpha course, and we'll run Alpha in homes quietly, or maybe we can do one-on-one, you know, house-to-house evangelism. No, they don't say that. They say, bring on more. We want more miracles. We want more evidence of your anointing and your favor upon your Messiah. And they say, let us be bold. Let us advance. Let us advance the kingdom. It's not about pushing down the opposition. It's not about even just us being comforted. It's about this work that you're calling us to. Let nothing stand in the way of your plans. This opposition is in vain. It is hopeless what these people are trying to do to suppress the work of the Lord. And it says that as they pray in that way, there's a visitation from God, the place is shaken, and they have an anointing, a filling of the Spirit that gives them this incredible boldness to proclaim the word of the Lord, and they go and do that. And it says immediately after that that there was such an outpouring of the grace of God upon the disciples. They shared everything in common. It says that thousands of people were responding, and they had favor with everyone. In fact, that boldness that they showed resulted in an incredible response of grace amongst the people. Well, this is such a helpful pattern for us to think about. Suppose you're facing a difficult circumstance. You've had blow after blow, disappointment after disappointment. Something has come against you in the middle of what God has called you to do. How are you going to respond? Are you going to say, Lord, this is too hard? Are you going to walk away? How are you going to respond when things get difficult? And in this particular pattern, you begin by thinking, what's going wrong? And then you say, what does the Word of God say about this stuff that's happening to us? Is this in accordance with God's promises to us? And then you declare the promises of God and you apply them to your circumstance, and you seek to advance and not to retreat. As Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, he says, you know, put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, you know, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And when you've done all that, stand, hold your ground, just hold your ground. And that's what these disciples are doing. They're not only holding, but they're seeking to advance into this difficult and dire situation that they're in. And there are times when it's entirely appropriate to pray a warfare prayer like this. Lord, we will not be moved. We will not be deflected from what you're calling to us. You have called us to be here. I've often known people who've had a calling from God, and they found themselves in their situation where they're living out their calling, and there have been very clear signs that have encouraged them to do that. The calling is genuine, but things begin to be difficult. There is opposition. Things don't turn out as they expected. They get let down by people. There is more problems than they had expected. And that is not the time to say, this is too hard. It's actually normally a time to say, God, where are you at work? The opposition to your purposes is vain. You are sovereign. You are in authority over all my circumstances. I will not retreat. I will not walk away. I will hold my ground. And this is a great example of how to do that, a prayer that is a warfare prayer, a prayer of advance. It's very interesting. Sometimes people ask about the armor that is described in Ephesians 5, put on the whole armor of God, that there's no armor for the back. There's only armor for the front, the shield and the protection and so on, the sword. And someone once said, why is that? Why isn't there armor on the back? I said, well, I think you're not meant to be retreating. You're meant to be advancing into the situation, into the purposes of God. So I want to give you three tips about this kind of warfare prayer, which is fantastic to do in the right time. Firstly, you need to know that you're not doing this kind of prayer in your authority, in your own authority, your personal authority. You're doing it in the authority of Jesus Christ. What does the word say written above the arch here in the church? Could you read that together? All? All power, all authority is given to Jesus. Therefore, he says, go. So he actually gives us authority, his authority, to do his work. And it's not your authority that enables you to stand. It's his authority. And that's what those initial verses or those appeals to Scripture also establish for these people who are praying. Lord, this is according to your authority. This is your plan. We are in the middle of your plan. So I think many Christians don't know how much authority they have in Christ. What an amazing gift that you have through the Lord, this gift of authority. But it's not your authority, it's his authority. And you need to have the boldness at the right time to use that in prayer, and God will do great things as you do that. So that's the first point. It's his authority, not your authority. Sometimes we make the mistake of trying to push through on our own authority. But actually, in ourselves, we are nothing. It's his authority that counts. The second point I want to make is about our own sinfulness, our own holiness or lack of it. When you're, as it were, staring the enemy in the eye and saying, I will advance, it's good to be aware on what basis of holiness you come. And the basis is this, that Christ has died for you, that your sins are forgiven, that Satan has no charge that he can make against someone who's been redeemed by the Son of God, and that you are righteous in the eyes of God because of what Christ has done for you. And that's a foundational sense of your own identity in Christ. It actually gives you confidence to look forward and move forward. Now, if you have a major area of sin in your life that's unconfessed, unrepented of, it's probably not a good idea to be engaged in this kind of prayer without thinking through that it's actually only through the blood of Christ that you're able to hold your ground. So it's a helpful process to acknowledge your sin. Lord, I am a sinner, and I'm only coming to this on the basis of the fact that I'm covered in the blood of Christ, that I'm healed and forgiven and restored through Christ. That is my position. That's my identity. And it's on the basis of that that you can stand and hold your ground. These guys who were praying, they knew that they were forgiven, that they'd been set free. And they were able to pray such an audacious prayer because Satan had no charge that he could make against them because of that. If you do have major issue in your life that you're not repented of, sort that out first. You know, that's a good thing to get in order before you step up to praying in this way. And if we were, as it were, holding a prayer meeting together of warfare prayer, I would encourage us all to have a time of confessing our sins as we've just done, acknowledging that we stand really in the presence of the Lord because of the blood of the Lamb that washes us clean. So that's a really important thing to be aware of. The third thing is just a word of caution that when you're praying a warfare prayer, you should pray within the reasonable rounds of your area of your authority, what God has given you to do in your life that you're responsible for. And if you're going to take on a bigger battle, it's actually not your battle, but it's the battle of the whole nation or the whole church, you actually need to seek some counsel and advice before taking on a warfare prayer like that. Like these people, they had a commission from Christ. He told them to share the gospel. They were walking in the pathway that they'd been given. They were supposed to be doing that. That was a prayer that was declaring the authority of God for the task that they'd been given. But if God puts something else on your mind, like you're concerned about, you know, pornography in society or, the infiltration of evil in the highest places of politics or higher things, by all means pray about it, but I'm not suggesting that you engage in warfare prayer about big issues that are not within your domain of authority the Lord has given you to do. If you want to engage with those kinds of issues, please seek counsel. Come and do the prayer ministry, prayer training that Debbie's doing. I'm particularly encouraging you to do battle for the things that are yours, that the Lord has given you, for your family, for your workplace, for your church, for the issues that are around you in your circumstances, in your neighborhood. I say this because there's sometimes it's appropriate for a community that has a particular issue, a spiritual issue to address in prayer, that actually the elders of the community need to own that together. And they need to take responsibility for declaring the victory of God over the church. And sometimes it's just enough to say, if you're not in that position of authority, just to say, Lord, this is a huge issue. Please deal with it. You know what to do. We ask that you would just take care of this, that you'd bring healing and change in that circumstance. But if what I've said is just not quite clear to you, I'd love to talk to you more about it, and you can seek some advice from somebody else. So these 3 points. Firstly, know that you have authority that's only from Christ. It's not your own authority. This prayer is not done in your own authority. Secondly, you can do this prayer because you're healed, forgiven, restored, redeemed through the blood of Christ. You're coming on the basis of his righteousness. That gives you boldness and confidence. And thirdly, be careful about not taking on, you know, warfare battles that are not yours to take on. Seek advice if you have a burden on your heart about something that's much bigger than your own circumstances before you engage in that. But within your own circumstances, in your own life, your own church, the ministry, the things that God has given you, I just encourage you to be bold and strong, be audacious in your prayer in this way. Now, notice that the disciples don't say, if it be your will, about this matter. They know that it's the will of God that those that rise up against the Messiah would do so in vain. They know that they've been given the task of telling and sharing the good news of Jesus with people. It's a really interesting thing. Sometimes Christians are frightened to pray with boldness because of a misunderstanding of Jesus' prayer when in the Garden of Gethsemane he said, if it be your will. Actually, Jesus knew at that point that it was God's will, the Father's will. He knew he was going to the cross. And it was in the context of that knowledge that had been in his mind for a long time that he was speaking out of his heart's, you know, feelings to the Father about what he was feeling about what was going to happen. That's not a model in this case for, you know, praying about something that's clearly given to us by God to pray for and something that's clearly put before us. Now, there are circumstances where it's appropriate to entrust your actions and your life to the will of God and say, God, you know what's best. But this is a circumstance where it was right for them to take their stand and take their authority. And I think as a community, we could do better in this area. We could exercise more authority in intercession as a community in our lives, in our circumstances. And I'd really love to encourage you to do that, to step out, to learn from others, to be mentored and to grow in exercising the God-given authority as intercessors that you have for the work and the areas of your life that God has given you. We're going to, in a little while, have an opportunity to worship, and I actually chosen some warfare worship. And these are songs of declaring of the victory of God. And I encourage you to join in with us in that spirit. It's a declaration of the power of the name of Jesus. It's a call to the army of the Lord to rise up and to really, there's a time for that, you know, of declaring the praises of God in a way that acknowledges his victory and rejoices in it with an open and a confident heart. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us the heart of warriors, that the warrior bride, your bride, the church, would rise up, and that you would grant us authority and grace, redemption, salvation, Lord, to hold our ground in the face of many obstacles, that we would not be daunted, we would not be moved, we would hold fast to your promises. Lord, I pray for an outbreaking of the word of God in people's hearts, that those promises that we know about with our minds would lodge deep within our souls, and they will come to mind when we face opposition, when we face disappointment or grief or loss or pain, that we would remember what you have promised us, those sure and true promises of your presence, of your purpose, your calling, and your victory. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that the victory over Satan has already been won, that we are in a mopping up period, that we are in your army, Lord, the army of the living God, the heavenly hosts, that we are part of your people that has been called to victory. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us the victory, a heart of victory, Lord, a warrior's heart to hold our ground in the face of difficulties and in the face of trouble. And Lord, I also ask that in the reality of what's happening in our congregation and the many issues that different people face. I pray, Lord, that you'd grant us the strong hearts of warriors to hold the position that you've given to us and even more to advance into the purposes, that we would never be intimidated and miss out on your purposes and your plan for our life because we are deceived by the enemy into thinking that we must give up, that we cannot move forward, that our cause is hopeless. Lord, we thank you that we declare that the cause of the enemy is hopeless, that his plans are vain, they are without success, they will not succeed before your intention and your purposes that you have so wonderfully revealed to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of victory, that you are the one who parts the seas, that you are the one who sets the captives free, that you break chains, that you create a way for us in the wilderness, that you are the one who lifts us out of the clay, that you are the one who arms us and equips us, that you are the one who heals us from our battle wounds, that you are the one who places us in a company, that we are not alone. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Spirit to guard us and protect us, to inspire us, to give us words of praise and prophecy, of worship and of declaration. We thank you for the amazing gospel, the eternal word that's been shared to us down to the ages through the apostles. Grant us, Lord, the boldness to be witnesses to this message that has come to us at such a great price. We just thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we can stand knowing who you are and who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We're going to sing.